everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP, joined as always by co-host, Mr. Nick Martin. How are you today, Nick?
I'm fantastic. A little sore. Well, new training going on and it's kicking my ass.
With the amount of time you spend working out, this isn't surprising at all.
Turns out, yeah, being 42 years old and trying to do stuff like 10-year-olds are doing, not good.
Doesn't work. Today on the show, we've got a couple of guests. We have our returning favorite guy ever, Mr. Brian Hopkins of Elvis Monroe fame. How are you, Brian, man? Good to see you again.
How you doing? I'm good.
We are awesome. Thanks. Good. Thanks for coming on and joining us today. Now, I could be wrong in this, but I'm pretty certain this guy has been on every single TV show that you have ever seen. Period. Like, we're talking Family Matters, Grace Under Fire, Something Wilder, Pacific Blue, Caroline the City, The Big Easy, Sliders, Just Shoot Me, Pensacola the Huntress, The Shield, One-on-One, Boomtown, Smallville, CSI, Aquaman, Cold Case, Saving Grace, NCIS, gotta take a breath, The Mentalist, Burn Notice, Dexter, Bates Motel, Castle. I could go on and on. Most recently, he stars in the TV show SWAT. Welcome to Dadcast, Mr. Kenny Johnson. How are you, man?
Good. What's going on, man? That's a lot of shows you just named off.
Holy and I didn't even get through half of them, brother.
That was fantastic.
Whew. Told you, man. That was going to be an intro, man. And of course, today, most importantly, Kenny is a dad, which is what we're going to try to focus on today, man. Thank you for coming on the show, man. We absolutely appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Hey, pleasure to be here. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Yeah. So, Brian, looks like you're ready to go right off the bat as per usual. It looks like you wanted to say something. What's up?
Well, no, it's just kind of it's fun. I watch Kenny on social media, and we go way back. But it's fun to watch him be such a proud dad. Like, I see you doing dances with your daughter. you introed Nick about working out. This dude works out. This guy is always. Oh, I mean, he plays a character on SWAT that. I mean, you got to be in shape. Those guys are the elite. On the daily, and he's got us all beat in age, and he's a bad. And this is a guy that basketball court. I hated when I had to guard him because I came home with bruises. He is not against slamming bodies, and we would rough it up on the court. And he was the one guy I did not want to guard all day.
And for the record, he's also the guy you do not want to arm wrestle.
No, for real. You know, and Kenny, Nick over here has, he's been inspiring everybody. Being a dad, he's been inspiring everybody and going to the gym. He's dropped over 90 pounds. Wow. And he was a guy who lifted a lot of weight, but now he lots of weights and whatnot. But woo! So
and now I'm doing some functional training to be an athlete instead of a power lifter. So
yeah, right on, bro. Good. Yeah. It's like the TB12 concept. At some point, you got to do what's right for your body and better and healthier for the longevity of everything. So that's smart, you know?
Well, yeah. I found it, you know, it's a good mental health booster, physical health booster. I have a 17-month-old that I'm trying to chase around, and 292 pounds wasn't doing it. So I'm like,
smokes.
I'm under 200 right now. No. Just from, okay.
Whoa. You're like, I'm right around the same thing, Mom. I'm always like 198, 202. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I feel so much better. JP's killing it, too.
I'm not yet, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
You look like a thug. You look like you go heavyweight.
Hawaii didn't do me any favors, man, and as far as the eating and fasting game. But I'm back home. We're doing good. Kenny, you're a dad. No. How many kids you got? Names, ages, all that good stuff, man. We want to know.
I got one kid, one girl. I was blessed with a girl, Angelica. 12 years ago. So 12 years in May 7th. So she's 12 years in May 7th, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So yeah, about 12 years, 5 months old. And she's been like the biggest blessing of my life. You know, I mean, I didn't know if I was ever going to get married, you know, never, it didn't come into my realm until I found the person. And then once we had gotten together 5 years later, I always envisioned having a girl for me. I just thought one child, a girl, I would be so freaking happy if she came out healthy or whatever. And it ended up being a girl. And, 12 years, 5 months in, I've never had a bad day or week or anything with her. It's been like, you know, complete opposite of like me growing up with my dad, who didn't really like me. And it was a lot, you know, it was night and day of what I experienced with her. So for me, it's just a chance every day to be a good human being. And just, you know, kids are like lights, you know what I mean? And you always just want to shower them with goodness and just magic and just, you know, hope. And so, you know, again, for me and my girl, I've always tried, once she got old enough to travel, I travel the world. I show her things, you know, whether it be in London or Paris or Bali or Japan or whatever. It's like, we're just always on the go. Like everything is normal, and just, you know, experience a lot of cultures, a lot of everything. And she's really into the arts, you know, by her choice, and doesn't like sports. I was a huge sports guy. I still am. And that was my whole life until I got into acting. And, but she hates sports, which is totally cool. And so I, just support everything she likes, and we just play, you know, and that's it.
Doesn't sound too terrible to me, man.
No.
Sounds awesome, yeah.
What kind of arts is she into, man?
Well, I mean, she, you know, she loves drawing. She loves writing. She's written, like, a bunch of scripts, movies, TV shows, like, on her own. She gets inspired by everything she watches, and, yeah, she's, like, really into that. And she got into acting by her choice, again, when she was 5 years or 4.5 years old, and I was shooting Bates Motel, and she never took an interest in anything. And I've, you know, taken her to a couple of sets, and she hangs out, and she gets bored within one or two takes and wants to leave. So I'm like, okay, well, obviously this is, you know, like, I don't want to bore her. So just get her out of there and let her play and do her adventures for the day. And then one day she like walks in the room while I was in Vancouver shooting Bates. And she's like, and she's never been like this. She's like, Daddy, I want to be an actress. I want to be Little Red Riding Hood Into the Woods. And I just looked at her. I'm like, okay. And, you know, again, she's 4.5. So I'm figuring, like, you know, and I'm like, just kind of let it go. And the next day she like comes in, she stomps her foot. She goes, I want to play Little Red Into the Woods. And I'm like, I said, Angelica, you're like 4.5 years old. Like, I go, I don't know if they do like plays for kids your age. And I go, Into the Woods is like, you know, a little bit older. I think you'd have to be like 14 or 15. And, you know, so that went on for like the next 3 months until I finished filming. And we came back to LA, and it was the same thing. You know, like, she had learned every song on, what was it? Nightmare Before Christmas. And then every song on Les Miserables. And then she learned every song on Into the Woods. And we got back to LA, and it was the same thing. Daddy, I want to be an actress. And I'm like, Angelica, I'm like, and I call her Jelly. I said, you're like, you're turning 5 years old. And I go, you got your whole life ahead of you. Wait till you're like 14 or 15. She goes, no, I want to be Little Red now. I want to play Into the Woods. And I'm thinking, oh, this is like, how am I going to do this? Because in Vancouver, I looked around, there was nothing up there. I got her into, you know, singing classes, but that was all I could find for kids. They didn't have any, you know, children's theater. So in LA, my friend, you know, Michael Chiklis from The Shield, I had seen his daughters do these plays at YADA, which is Youth Academy of Dramatic Arts. So I call Michael up. I go, Michael, you know, Jelly wants to, act. What do I, you know, where do I take her? And he goes, go to YADA, like where Autumn and Odessa did. So I went down there like 11 in the morning. Nobody was there. I start walking away, and this blonde girl was walking up as we're walking away. She goes, can I help you? And I'm like, yeah, my daughter, I go, she wants to, you know, be an actress. So I go, I know you guys do plays here. And she goes, oh, why don't you come back at 3 o'clock? And they're auditioning. It's the last day of auditioning for Into the Woods. And I'm thinking, like, you know, out of all things, Into the Woods, right? So I'm like, that's freaking crazy. So I came back at 3 o'clock with Angelica. And, you know, I mean, she's just a kid, right? She's never acted, never done anything. So they go, okay, you know, it's first come, first serve. There's a waiting list already of over 16 people. So there's no way she can get into the play. But if you wanted to audition, you know, like, you can keep her here for a couple hours and she can go through the process and experience that. And I'm like, do you want to do that? She goes, yeah. So she went into the theater, you know, 2 hours go by and we come out. And I said, thank you very much for, you know, like, letting her do that. And we walked down the stairs and we're going up the street, and they came running after us and they said, listen, have her come back next week. She's going to be in the play. And I just thought, how, you know, and I thought, don't even ask. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we came back next week, and I knew in between that week, I'm thinking, like, you know, I asked her, what did they make you audition for? And she did the song, and it's one of the songs that Meryl Streep has sang. So it wasn't, like the song from Little Red. And so I thought, you know what? And I told her, I said, just sing a Little Red song. So we had made a homemade cape for her and the outfit that she wore all the time and slept in it. So she starts doing this song from Little Red, from Into the Woods. And I'm just taping her. And she goes through all these, you know, from emotional to like she's very passionate to very subtle. And she doesn't know I'm taping her, but she's singing the song. And I sent it to him, you know, over like to the director over there. And I go, this is actually what she's like every day. I go, this is like her life is this right here. And so at least they got a chance to see what she could do as like Little Red. And so that week we came back and they were going to announce the parts. And, you know, after they had a 3 hour, you know, rehearsal, they came out and gave everyone their parts. And she came out of the theater and she walks up to me just very quiet and put her hand up like this. And I'm like, okay. She walked back in the theater. She got a book. She came out. And normally she gets so excited and she can't shut up about anything. She didn't say a word. She just handed me the book. And I'm like, okay. She said, open it. And I opened it and it said, Angelica Scarlett Johnson, Little Red Riding Hood. I'm like going, how weird is that? That's so freaking cool.
Oh, you know? Man.
That's how it started. Now, you know, like 24 musicals later. And she's done 4 films. And, you know, she's reading on SWAT right now. So it's like so weird. I mean, this is like all her choice. Again, you know, I will not teach her, but I will always give her like what I've learned, you know, from my teachers and always express, you know, things and what she learns from this guy, Gary Spatz, that she takes, you know, and he's got a great philosophy on acting and a great approach. And it was like my teacher, Larry Moss. And so all I do is kind of share information, but I let her process it. And whatever comes out of her is her own instincts and her own rhythm. And I never correct her or tell her how to do anything because I'm thinking like, who am I to tell a kid how to do something when it's like their instincts, you know? And she's really, really just naturally good at it. So all I do is just keep nurturing to trust your instincts. Don't listen to other adults that maybe not qualified for it, you know, that will try to say, well, no, it should be this way or that way. That I don't really know. I'm like, just always trust your instincts because that's what I've always done with, you know, my approach. And so she's done really awesome with it, you know? So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
And a great story. Right. And with that, that was Dadcast. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I was thinking of something when you said that, you know, back before I even knew you, I mean, I knew of you, you were an actor I watched on TV. Michael, his daughters used to play soccer and they played Odessa. My sister Buffy was their coach and they played with Sky, and you would come out and watch them play from time to time. And I'd be out there watching my niece play. Oh, and I'm like, those are the guys from the on the field at the time. And I'm like, dang, you know, and then, later on in life, we, you know, we met and became friends and, you know, so it was kind of crazy. That's dude, not,
I remember we went to every one of Autumn and Odessa's plays and, you know, soccer games and volleyball games and basketball. There's like a ritual. It's like they became our extended family. So even in between shooting the shield, if Autumn or Odessa had something, we'd schedule it so we could get off, run out for 3-4 hours and watch them and then go back to work, you know? And it was like,
you guys were always.
That's awesome.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
Their coach, you know, and
I remember that.
Crazy. Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give Kenny to a father of daughters who would like to pursue, whether it be theater or acting or anything of that nature? And by advice to fathers, I mean me, because my little girl is, I feel like she's made for it. She just, I put on a camera and she's just bing, she's on it. And she's right. Like, I'm the attention.
Right.
Yes. But you know, coming from a tiny little town in Southern Oregon, the outlets aren't there for her. But what do you think? Yeah. What do you think? What do you suggest?
I mean, yeah, man, tiny little town in Oregon.
Move to LA. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. It's kind of like how I know my world is like just out of LA or something, because I mean, I was in Vancouver. It was hard to find things for, you know, little kids. So, or for, you know, children and that's tough. But I mean, I would think now with the whole protocol with Zoom and with the COVID thing, there's more opportunity to get online and go one-on-one with people that are professionals, you know, and, you know, I could always, you know, hook you up with like this guy, Gary Spatz, who does privates online, you know, and he like started out coaching like Hillary Schwenk before she went on to go to my class with me and Larry Moss. But he did like, you know, the Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and like a lot of, you know, Gyllenhaal, like Maggie Gyllenhaal and all these guys. So, and he was an onset coach for the Roseanne show and for all these shows coming up. So the guy's really, really good. And he does do privates online. So if you wanted to do it from there and you can't get anything in your area, I would say do that, you know. I mean, you could always get a hold of me and I could get put you in touch with Gary. And if you guys want to do something that way, like I'm not sure if she's into broadcasting, you're saying, or acting, or what are you saying?
All of it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying. I mean, right now it would be like commercial acting. But the purpose of that question wasn't actually to name drop and get you to help me. But thank you. You know, heck, no, I might take you up on that offer. Yeah. But like commercial acting right now, you know, something small, get her feet wet type deal, you know.
Yeah,
see what that progresses into.
Hey, you know, when I was a kid, I lived in Salem, which is not far from where you guys were, and it was that it was having to search out in your neck of the woods, like get your kids into theater. I mean, you go back to the beginning of Kenny's story, and it was his daughter pursued theater. And and that's where it's not an instant jump. She didn't go from theater, or he didn't put her right into TV or even going after commercials. It was this love that she created on her own doing it that leads into the, I mean, I grew up in Salem, right where you guys were, and I had a love for the arts. I got in my car when I was old enough and said, oh, sports, I'm done with sports. I'm going to LA. And that's where I had to go, because that's where it happens on the daily. Your phone rings, that changes your life. But we just had this conversation. I was in Oregon the other day, and my brother and I'm like, man, I wish in school I would have done more theater. But I didn't know I was an athlete. I didn't know that, you know, I could do both. I just focused on sports. So if your daughter has love for those things, then, you know, there's the reach is a lot easier.
Yeah.
For sure, with social media right now, or with the internet, to find where it's going on, you know, little school plays, that kind of thing. Because they go in it as a kid, they go in and out of it if they don't really love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I know my son tried karate. He's tried football. He's currently trying the trumpet, and so far so good. You know, he likes the music, but
awesome. Yeah, no, he's got a good point, because the theater, like, even if you go to, like, Paia, which is a little town in the other side of Maui, there's theater out there. I mean, there seems to be children's theater everywhere. So if you seek that out in the area, I would think that you could find something. I was a no-go in Vancouver. I have no idea why, but most of the states I know, like, even where I grew up in Vermont, they had theater out there. And so, you know, I think you could find it. I do.
It's all those people. Anyway, even mentioned, like, at a young age, they're not from Hollywood. Though, you know, all those actors that started young, they were from these little small towns across the country, but their love for it brought their parents to go, okay, hey, mom or dad is going to go out, and we're going to go up. There's a spot up the top of just above Warner Brothers, where you just kind of rent apartments for monthly. And there's in that community up there, it's just a bunch of young actors and actresses and or musicians or whatnot that are there working or just trying to audition, you know. And you know, I'm talking
Oakwood Apartments. You're talking about? Yeah, I used to live there when I had no money. I sublet it. Yeah, yeah.
Month to month kind of thing. Yeah. That community, there's all of these people that they all grew up out of there, and everybody have stories from there. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things, you know, not to step on Kenny's answer, but help you out there, you know, it's one of those things.
I got an in. You might actually get to meet. Well, you've met Brian. You've met my son. He's a huge fan.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if you've met my daughter yet.
I have not mentioned that.
Well, she, there's school at this time. If we time this thing right, right about when we're finishing up, there's school, she might come on in here and say hello. They're getting off the school bus in a little bit. That'll be fun for her and him for that matter, because he's a big fan. He might even be a bigger fan of Brian than Kenny right now. It was so funny, man, when, you know, he talked to him on the phone and then he met Brian in person, and Brian's not a short guy. He just, it was that. It was starstruck. Just wow. At that concert, man. And I love that, man. I love it.
It was the same for me when I met Brian for the first time too, because I'm about as tall as Sawyer.
So. That's a fun fact. Nick is like 5'2" on a good day.
I was like, damn.
You're almost the same height wide now, though, as you are tall.
Right.
Which is just awkward.
Basketball court, Kenny would always out jump me. We'd always have the jump ball.
Right.
And there's photos of him literally, like, you know, out jumping me. I'm like, damn, this guy.
So, Kenny, what is your sport of choice? Not to play. Okay, to play and as a fan.
What's that?
I'm Kenny. I'm asking him what his sport of choice is.
Yeah, no, for me, football. I was like a love of football. I got a scholarship to go to college playing football, and I played football and baseball, and I was better at baseball, but I just diehard football fan, you know, and I'm a diehard, you know, TB12 fan. So Brady's been my guy. New England was my team, you know, but I went with Brady and Gronk, although I still love the Patriots. You know, I love Tampa Bay this year too, just because of what he's about and what he represents. So,
yeah, did you see that moment yesterday? So when he went to the kid in the stands who beat brain cancer. Have you read that story yet?
Oh no, I did not.
So whoa, I was in tears.
Right? I mean, okay. First of all, full disclosure: I'm a Raider fan, so all things Tom Brady can go straight to hell. Okay, that's what I'm saying. You know, I appreciate you as a fan, but me personally, no, thank you. Damn it, he's too good. But he went to Tampa Bay, and that hate kind of subsided just a little bit. It's no longer with New England, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm watching football yesterday, and I don't know when this episode drops, probably in a few weeks. But at the time of this filming yesterday, the 24th, I believe, of October 21, 33 seconds left on the clock, he went to the stands. His kid was holding up a sign, Tom Brady, I beat cancer, thanks to you, whatever. Took his hat off. Gave it to the kid, shook his hand, and the kid just flooded.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. No, I did see that.
And I went, you know what, man? This guy has done it all. He just threw for the 600th touchdown, the only guy to ever do this in the history of football, and he's still doing shit like that, pardon my French. And I just, you know, you gotta show some respect for that man. So when it comes to the respect factor,
Dude, he's one of the most selfless guys. I mean, if you track his record, I'm sorry, but all the stories come out the same way. And they're nothing but respect. I hear you, man.
Yeah,
Raiders. Hey, Raiders.
5-2, baby. Come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, if things go like they normally will in about 4 weeks, they will implode and lose like 8 in a row, and it'll be another season. Well, Gruden's gone, so who knows? But that's a whole other can of worms we only want to talk about right now.
Right.
Las Vegas, and I mean, I live in Las Vegas, so I have to kind of root for the Raiders now, JP. Like,
good.
Our recording, you know, stairs, I can walk. It's a block and a half from the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in fact, I went to the game. I went to Miami game week 3, so 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was in Vegas, when I was trying to meet up with you again. But again, it just, things happen. Life happens. You're busy. I'm busy. But I parked in like a lot U or something with my buddy who's got tickets, and we walked right by you and Ben's studio again. So I'm like, oh, but it's a Sunday. No one's here. And right to the studio. But yeah, man, that stadium, that town, that team, big fan, man. Big fan. I would not mind Kenny, Raiders, Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl 20 years later to reenact some revenge on that whole snowball game. Come on.
Even though
it wasn't Tom's fault. It was the ref's fault. Yeah. But still, I harbor grudges, man. I'm passionate. I'm a passionate fan.
Yeah, man.
That sucks, your daughter.
You got Derek Carr from Bakersfield. I mean, that guy's solid.
He is. I know.
He's a good quarterback, man.
I think he's one of the most underrated guys in the league, and I don't know why. Every single year he gets no love, but
God. Well, no, I mean, he's kind of like Brady. It was the same way until, you know, and it's still that way.
Yeah.
He's always underrated, and he constantly obviously shows you otherwise. But Derek Carr, yeah, no, he's calm, cool, always really, really solid. Now, you know, the games they lose are normally not his fault at all. So as long as they can pull everything together, you have a chance, you know?
We'll see. But see, the difference between Derek Carr and Tom Brady at this point in Tom Brady's career as versus Derek Carr a few years in,
yeah.
I think Tom has already won like 37 Super Bowls by that time.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
there's that.
Yeah.
And I got to ask from doing Sons of Anarchy, did you ride motorcycles before you did that show?
Yeah. I grew up, you know, in Vermont, like on this little, 30-acre farm on Mount Ascutney. And I had, you know, I mean, I drove when I was like 10, 11 years old. I was driving pickups and tractors and like working on stuff. Yeah. So, snowmobile racing. I mean, the whole thing. So,
I was asking, like, because, you know, being on Sons of Anarchy.
So we had a mini. I had a mini bike when I was like a little kid. And I used to race, you know. So then, So then when I came out here, I got my first, a Ninja 600R. I had two of those, but they both got stolen. Then I started going up to, a couple more bikes that were bigger. And both those ended up getting stolen. And so, like, the last one was right before I went on Sun. So I'd been riding pretty much, you know, my whole life. And that was no big deal to me. I mean, half the cast, like, they either never ridden before or if they learned, they were pretty god awful, and it was pretty scary. I mean, there were a lot of hairy things that happened on that show, and you know, I don't want to talk about who or whatever, but yeah, it was weird.
So as actors on our resume, we put down that we can do all of that stuff. You know, you get the part, you just have to quickly learn how to ride a horse or. I can do a unicycle. Like you say, you can do it and try and figure it out.
Oh, I can ride a bull. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. No, I went on one time commercials as before I got into acting, and they're like, are you a diver? I'm like, oh yeah, I dove in college, and I made up all these things about all these triple twisting, whatever that I could land. So I lie all my way, and then I got booked on the job, and then I'm going to Hawaii, and they're telling me I have to jump off like a 100-foot cliff. And I'm thinking like, I can't die. You know, I can barely swim, never mind dive. And I'm like, I remember not being able to sleep the whole night before, because I'm thinking like, how am I going to tell these guys I don't know how to dive? I can't go off a 100-foot cliff. I'm like going like, there's no way. And I showed up, and they had hired these professionals, divers that did these crazy dives from these cliffs. And they just wanted me to go in the very bottom part of it. So I decided to dive off like a 20-foot rock, which I was able to do and make, you know, pull off that section of it. But yeah, dude.
Woo!
Yeah. You learn, you lie, and then you get caught, and then you're like, oh, I'm not going to lie again, you know? I'm gonna tell them that I can't. Yeah.
Does your? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Sons, and but I never rode. And Ben, you know, Benny bought me a Harley, and as a gift. And in May, it's been a year, and I ride like every day. I love it. So
you grew up with bikes, also though, right?
But I grew with them, you know. As a kid, I had a Harley bike. I had with my brother and I, we had mini bikes. We rode. I remember having a motocross bike, you know, just riding the field across from my grandfather's house and just go. But then I stopped because it scared me growing, you know, like spending most of my time in LA. I'm like, I'm not there. And hearing horror stories. And then I get out to Vegas, and Ben and the guys are always riding and always taking off on their bikes. And one of our buddies is Randy Couture, who's done the dad cast. And they ride all the time. And I'm like, I'll just follow you in my truck. And they're like, it's not the same. And I'm like,
You're like the dude in the van, you know, behind everyone.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just one of those things. And I love it. I love it. I got street glide and just, I'm always riding, and you know, it's fun. My girl was, you know, like I said, she was a big fan of Sons of Anarchy and your character. And I kept saying that's Kenny, man. That's my friend. And then all of a sudden they kill you. And I'm like, well, that was my friend. He was.
Oh, don't
so
worry.
I got a funny story to go along with this Sons of Anarchy thing. So Brian's texting me late one night, or my wife and I are in bed, and I'm like, holy shit, babe. Brian's, one of his buddies was on Sons of Anarchy. She's like, was it Jax? Well, no. Was it Juice? Yeah,
we're going to get.
I'm all, where the hell did Juice come from? So she was like super excited for about 2 minutes.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, for the record, if it makes you feel any better, I was excited. I'm still excited, and I'm really glad you're on the show, man. I'm a big fan of Sons as well, but man, that accolades, the list of shows you've been on. I don't know. Dexter, are you kidding me? Smallville was one of my faves when I was growing up. Well, not growing up, when I was like in my 20s. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Maybe a little bit older.
Did you like age backwards or something here?
Yeah, right?
We're old.
Yeah, I guess we are old. But that's the beauty about growing up, man. You and Kenny, you're skewed a little bit older when it came to becoming a father for the first time. Kind of like me. I was like 36 when I found out my lady was pregnant and we're having a kid. Right. How did that work out for you? How did you go so long without, well, that's kind of a personal question, but I just asked it.
I just never found the right person that I felt like I was meant to be with. So I just thought, I literally gave into it and I thought, well, in this lifetime, it's not meant to be, you know, right. And I'm not going to get married and I'm not going to have a kid. So all the, like, it's really weird. I have premonitions and every premonition I've ever had has come true. One of them, the earliest one I had was 4 years old when I was in a wedding and I visualized this thing hit me, said, this is where you're going to meet the girl that you're going to marry. And it showed a place on the other side of the world. It was an island. I saw what she looked like and everything, right? The whole thing, you know, and I thought, oh, huh. And then I didn't have any premonitions for a long time. And then they started coming again. And my first one was for Pensacola Wings of Gold. My second premonition was the Shield. I knew the Shield 6 months prior. I knew the network. I knew who was going to cast it. Like everything came true to a T, which was really weird. And then the thing with Holly Hunter, I did. I knew I was going to play opposite of her, the role, everything. So the only premonition I ever had was that one that didn't come true. And I thought, I wonder what that was when I was four. I remember being in a bathroom, hiding from two girls chasing me. And I'm like, you know, like was trying to hide because I was like, you know, young four-year-old and girls to me, I didn't really understand. So I had that vision. I remember in the bathroom at 4 years old, I had a wedding and I was the ring boy. And then all these years later, I was shooting a film on the other side of the world. Some guy dropped out that was in a Schwarzenegger movie and they called me up to replace him. So I did. In the first day of shooting, I got there and I was in a room ready to shoot a scene. And this girl I hear behind me says, it's my birthday today. So I kind of turn around and I go, oh, happy birthday. And it hit me. The same looking girl, same everything. And I'm thinking I'm on the other side of the world. I'm on an island. And I'm like, no, I go, I'm way too old now. Like, you know, I'd given up on the whole thing of getting married or whatever. And then about 11 seconds go by and she says, well, it's, you know, it's my birthday and I'm going out with my girlfriends. Would you like to come with us? And I just look back at her and I'm like, okay. You know, I thought, okay. And, you know, 7 days later we started dating and then we were together and then it didn't feel wrong. So time went by and, you know, like I was with her 5 years and then, you know, I didn't feel every other girl for me. I knew it was wrong and I always felt like jumping out of my skin. And I just thought I'm not meant to be in love or find that one. And then this one, it just didn't feel wrong. So I kept trusting the process. And then I got to that point to where like I've always wanted a kid and it felt right. So, yeah, it happened. And then I even knew the night that it happened and I knew it was a girl. I knew everything. It was like almost like really strange, but the whole thing felt meant to be. And it just like for me, I wasn't judging my age because I thought, you know, I am what I am. And I try to do the best I can in life and keep in the best shape I can and not look at anything like, oh, people are at this age or that age and you can and can't do this and that. I just like try to live life in the moment and be there. And so I wasn't even judging that. And I thought, you know, and then my friend Holly Hunter, you know, she had children a little slightly older than me, twins. And I thought, well, she can do it. I've seen a lot of other people do it. I'm like, I just wasn't going to question it and just take it day by day, you know, and year by year. And it's been pretty awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, in this premonition you had at four, did you see yourself older?
No, I only saw the girl. I saw the girl. Okay. I saw where I saw the complexion of her skin. I everything about her, and it's almost to a T of what happened.
And these are these few and far between and random premonitions?
They're very random. I don't look. They just hit me and they tell me things, and every single thing, like, you know, is you know, come true to a T. That's like amazing. I have a friend, Ryan Hurst, who was also, he was OP on SOA, and he has premonitions, and every single one of him has come true to a T too, except he has them in his dreams. I have them when I'm awake. He has them in his dreams. And we share our, you know, stories all the time. It's like, yeah, it's a whole nother. Yeah, it is. I never judge it. And it's really kind of like comes from the ethers, and it kind of goes through you and lets you know stuff. And, you know, again, I just don't judge it. It is what it is. But every single one has come true, like to a T.
That's awesome.
I believe in manifesting, you know, wishing on things to happen. So I would do, it would be of great favor to us is when you have that premonition about Dadcast being sold to Spotify for like $100 million, let us know. Okay. We need to figure out how that, we need to navigate that route.
If that hits me, I'll call you, man. I'll be like, hey.
Because I'm not looking to get rich. I just want to provide my kid. I want my kids' kids to be provided for. That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, the funny thing is too, $100 million is going to go real quick with the big team that we set up. So, our percentage, it's not like we get to see all that. So,
I wasn't trying to be greedy, Nick. Jeez, I felt that was a little greedy.
I just want two Teslas, bro. That's all.
I had two Teslas for like a week. Okay, I only have one now.
I'm going to give you shit about that forever. You should never have called me. You should never have FaceTimed me with the Tesla in your garage and the Tesla on the road.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. That's a good segue. Do you like Teslas, you guys? Are you a car guy, Kenny, at all?
Yeah, I'm like old school. Like I like 57 Chevys and like old muscle cars to me. Like, you know, my first truck was a 68 Chevy. Loved it. I mean, I love those old cars. But yeah, Tesla's awesome. I mean, I've got a lot of stocks in Tesla, so they've done well for me.
There you go. There you go. And if you've had him for a few years, you're doing very, very well. I get it. Someone actually told me, they're like, I don't know why you're buying the cars. You just buy the stock. And I was like, have you driven one? Have you ever been in one? Because I'm a muscle car guy too. And this damn car is just, and it's not even the fastest of the fastest ones. It's so ridiculously fast anyways. And I just missed the roar. I miss the roar of the engine. That's the only thing I miss.
It's so smooth too, though. Like that road trip we were on.
Oh, and that, unbelievable. Wait till you drive the new one, man. Holf.
I know.
Teslas are nice. Like my friend, when it first came out, he bought tons of stocks in it. Like he had an inside scoop from somebody and he made so much money within 3 months and bought a couple Teslas and he'd take me out and he says, Kenny, you got to invest in this thing called Tesla. And I swear to God, this is like, I'm like, you know, and it was like a rocket ship, man. I was like, you can't hear anything. And it was like 0 to 90 in like no time. And I'm like, holy crap, man. So, I didn't listen to them back then, which I should have, because they're pretty dope cars. And again, you know, like the way our environment's going, not that I'm going to get on that, but we need to do something, you know, like for our kids and everything like that, you know? So,
yeah. Love that. Very noble. It's noble to buy a Tesla, Nick. So there you go.
I'm 100% in, bro. I'm there. I sold my Cadillac so I can make it happen.
That's the only thing. If there's ever one of those moments where there's a big fat check dropped on you where you're like, this is so much money, I don't even know what to do with. Only then will I drop 150 grand on a car, and it will be that Model S Plaid that goes 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. Only then.
Oof. I got to tell you, Kenny, this, it's been inspiring too to sit here and listen to your stories and you guys spending a lot of time most of my adult life in Hollywood and chasing the dream out there. This guy's a working actor. This guy is doing it. He's on a TV show. He's been on multiple the list went on and on and on, and it's inspiring. And it's inspiring to know when I was looking at the list of stuff that you've done. And I'm like, oh no, I know. I saw him on this. I saw him on that. Dude, well done. Like, and hear you talk about your daughter, to hear you talk about your premonitions. I mean, that gave me chills. I'm wearing a hoodie and the chills went down my arms because I'm Native American Indian. I believe in all this. know, I have visions of things that have come true, and I talk about them, you know, and I didn't know I was going to be a musician, and I was playing baseball and had a vision of doing that and walking out where the curtains were being lifted and I was going like, whoa, 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 whoa. But it felt so real. And that's what I do for a living. And so I understand it, but it's inspiring, and you're very inspiring. Just like I've told Nick, watching Nick drop this 90 plus pounds now, also inspiring, bro. So, thank you for doing this with us, you know, and thank you guys. Thanks for asking me to be a part of this. I mean, they are DadCast. I am just back here.
We are DadCast until Brian comes on the show with DadCast. Then Brian is DadCast, but then that's Brian.
Exactly.
But that's fine. I've been trying to get Nick to lead for a year now. So when Brian comes on,
I'm getting there.
I just take a little break, man. I just throw it back and let Brian run. No, it's fine. It's great. It's a beautiful thing. Like I said, I went to a Halloween party. Okay, I don't drink much these days. We've talked about that in the podcast a few times. Just not that often. But I went to Hawaii, and went in Hawaii, I guess everyone's drinking, so I'm guess JP going to drink too. And it turns out I didn't get sick. I didn't have a hangover. I drank well. We'll put it that way. At least I'd like to think so. So I went to a Halloween party on Saturday night, and I dressed as a woman. Nick, you saw the TikTok.
Yes.
And it didn't go so well for me that time. I spent most of yesterday recovering, and then I woke up this morning going, I'm still not right. I am still not right.
Yeah, I thought I was
going
to have to find a new co-host because I texted him like 4 times, and he always calls or texts right back. I'm like, oh, shit. What happened to JP?
It was a Raider game on, too. I kind of opened my eyes a couple times for that one. But, I'm done with drinking again for like a year, Nick.
Yeah.
It's not good for me, man. I don't do well
with it. I tried a White Claw the other day, and it didn't sit well, man. I'm like, yeah, it's either I got to go all
in. Your first problem was it was a White Claw.
They're delicious. It's water that'll literally fuck you up.
Whoa, potty mouth. That's the first one. It's always Nick, too. Always Nick. I know.
You got to keep it real.
They were talking about, Brian, you're always staying in shape. You're working out. You're doing your thing. What is your diet like? I mean, are you a meat eater? Are you a vegetarian? What do you do when it comes to your diet to stay fit and being able to be active for all these roles you play?
I do not have a particular diet. I mean, I eat some carbs, I eat some protein, whatever kind of feels right for my body. I train at a boxing gym where I, train weights and mostly weights and boxing, but I do strength and conditioning with Manny Pacquiao, strength and conditioning coach, Justin Fortune. So I've been with him probably, like a long time, like about 14 years or 13 years or something like that. So I do a lot of training with those guys and then the basketball and, if I arm wrestle a lot, I train with the team and play around doing that. My diet is not too many carbs, not too much junk, not too much pizza. I mean, I love all those things, but once you cut it out, you cut it out. And I'm like on a show right now where all the guys are like, they're watching every calorie they eat, and they're so specific, and they're younger than me, like quite a bit. So they all have these phenomenal bodies, and all they're doing all day is eating right and training all the time. So I'm like, all right, this is what I got to stay up with. So, I can get a little laxed on my, the way I eat or train, but that just gets me into, competitive mode. And so I want to look and be as the best I can be. And so I just like train like a madman. And at the same time, I don't eat really crappy because that just is not going to help anything out. I used to work out like 8 hours a day, but I could eat whatever I wanted. And, my body looked really good back then for what I could do. But compared to like, if you actually ate right and did everything right and then, train the way you do, I would look like probably a lot better than I do, but I'm really my worst critic on myself. You know what I mean? People might think, no, you look great to me. I'm like, no, I look like there's so many areas I can improve. And so I'm constantly calling myself out on it. So it's really like when you train, you can have a trainer. I don't like having trainers. I mean, I train with Justin Fortune because he makes me jump in there with his pro, his pro guys to do whatever workouts they're doing. And so I get a free training session, but then I train on my own. So I've never had a trainer, but I just, again, jump in with him because he kind of says, okay, 6:30 in the morning, you're going to be there. So I'm like, okay. it's Justin Fortune. You got to listen to whatever he says, you know? And he's like kind of harsh when it comes to it. So I'm like regimented with it. And at the same time, when I don't have him, you know, we got a workout trailer that is on the set wherever we go. So in between scenes, it's always training, sit-ups inside. I have things for recovery for my body that are in my trailer that I used. And so the whole day is like focused on, you know, what you're doing for work and then your body. And then again, you know, since they eat so well, I try to eat well too, you know? So I'm not getting specifics with what I eat, but definitely it's like, you know, definitely enough protein, not, you know, drink a lot of water, you know, don't eat too late. Don't eat a lot of really crappy food that you don't need to. And then your body sort of listens to yourself. Yeah, dude, that's good for you. Straight up vodka to, like, you know, fight off the hangover.
This is my gallon of water jug a day that encouraged me. It talks to me as I go along every single day.
That's amazing. I was doing straight keto for, God, like the last 9 months. That's how I dropped most of the weight and just like super like hard on myself. If my family and I would go out to eat, I'm like throwing a fit because I'm like, fuck, I got to have a meal, just meat, a little bit of cheese.
Right.
No carbs.
Right.
Waitresses and waiters are like, what is your problem, bro? I'm like,
right.
I'm working. So I started this new training 3 days ago. It's all functional training. They're training me like an athlete. So I have better function and just mobility and stuff. My trainer's like, dude, go eat whatever you want. So yesterday I went crazy, got the pasta, got pizza, donuts.
Right. Now, did you feel like crap afterwards though?
I do. I felt like, I thought I was going to die this morning. I go into training. I'm like, what did you do to me, man? He's like, you got to reset your body, dude. You know, I've been punishing myself for so long. He's like, you got to reintroduce the carbs and the best way to do it.
Yep.
Just go crazy.
Yep. All right. I do that. Yeah.
So now it's like, and it's weird too. Like I'm normally like, I'll go in and train full body every day. Now I'm like one body group, just a ton of cardio, ton of ab work, and then just explosive jumps and jumping jacks and burpees and just pull ups. And I'm like, this is insane, but this is awesome.
Good, man. That's crazy. That's so good.
And the main reason is during COVID, I had COVID and in just a total blackout moment, I'm like, hey, Josh Berkman, let's fight. So, and if you watch UFC, Berkman has the fastest knockout in UFC history. UFC was Ultimate Fighter season one. So, and he agreed to do it. So next year, early next year, sometime I'm going to fight a UFC pro. And
but guess what, man, it worked out so much in your favor. Cause now you're in so much better shape. You're faster. You're stronger. You're like the freaking $1 million man.
And see, and Brian doesn't realize that these episodes where we bring him in are just to see if he can take over my spot in case I die.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I have absolutely no doubt, unequivocally no doubt, that if you were to die and Brian had to jump in as co-host, I would end up being the co-host of Dadcast.
There we go.
I'm just, they'll be me like this.
Sorry.
I got a two-parter question for you, Kenny. Starts negative, man. But we're going to end positive, I promise. For you, in your experience as a dad and how you've navigated, you know, being a dad too, you're Jelly. I love that nickname, by the way.
Yeah.
What has been the most difficult thing for you as a father? If you could even put your nail on the head on for one. But
yeah, no. For me, I've seen her transition from that innocent blossom. No, I should say the innocent, magical imagination and little girl who so needs her dad and everything every day is about these like magical fantasies to her becoming like, you know, trying to figure out what being a young woman is right now. And then having her own self identity and watching her go through that is like, for me, kind of painful and breaks my heart because I've got to understand that this process is going to happen of her, you know, being her own individual, which she always has been, but I can see it more now than before. And she's becoming like a young lady. And I love that and respect that. And I honor that. And I'm trying to jump to that, you know, mentality of dealing with that person as opposed to the little girl who needs her dad all the time. And everything is all sparkles and rainbows. And now it's like there's a little bit of life's reality jumping in for her, which she's always like dealt with perfectly fine, but it's real now. And I see her go, hey, what's up, buddy?
Hi.
How are you?
Sorry, I didn't interrupt your question. I told you they're going to show up. Look,
it's awesome. Brian. How was school today?
Hi.
He asked how school was.
Good.
Yeah, right on, bro.
Where's your sister? He always runs away from her when he gets home on the bus. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt that question with the kids.
No.
But yeah, it's difficult. And who you're about to meet, if she ever gets in here, I'm going to go through that shortly. I mean, she's eight.
Yeah.
So in the next couple of years, we're going to have to start navigating that myself. And I also have a almost 17-year-old stepdaughter. So we've navigated through that part. And boy, have I learned a lot with that one to apply to this one.
Right.
Oof. Man. And it,
I'm right in the thick of the 17-year-old daughter.
Yes, you are.
Man. Where is she? Oh, yeah. It's a 12 to like 14 is like almost the perfect age because they still like you.
Right.
And they still want to hang out with you. As soon as they hit like 15, 16, it's like they can't get away fast enough.
I heard. Like, yeah.
And then they think they know everything and they rule the world. And
right.
All of a sudden the house that you buy and pay for is their house. And
they
determine who does what chores. And that kind of stuff. So yeah. Yeah. Good times.
Thanks, man. All right. Now the second part to that question, the best thing being a dad. For Kenny,
that I get every day to be with this, like, you know, beautiful soul of a person that is so pure and full of happiness, and she puts so much light in my life. I mean, I try to be a person that's got light and energy and kind of positivity, and she exudes that, and which just melts me, and just like it's for me, it's unbelievable just to be in her presence, and I'm like awestruck for that or by that, you know, because, you know, life is really about energy and about love and about, you know, pure essence. And like, she is that to me. And so for me, that gives me, hey, what's up? We got another one. Hi, girl.
This is my version of that for what you're exactly just talking
about. I love it. How was school today?
Good.
Yeah.
Did
you have fun?
That's Kenny and Brian. Oh, you're just going to pop up on daddy's lap here, aren't you?
Yeah.
I guess she's hanging out the rest of the episode, you guys.
What grade are you in now?
Third.
Oh, nice. Third grade. You like your teacher?
You like your teacher?
He's the nicest one in the school.
Oh, my God. You're so lucky.
He better be the nicest one in the school, and he better be the nicest one to my daughter. I'll tell you what. Right?
Oh, no. You got the best dad. Oh, my God. You got the dad.
So this guy, he's been on every TV show that's ever existed in the world.
Who cares?
Right? Exactly. No. I love that age. So what? Okay, not every show, but a lot of them. But
you're
awesome.
Not on Sam and Cat.
You're not what?
On Sam and Cat.
Sam and Cat? Yeah. That's a YouTube show. They didn't
ask me to come on there. I'm so devastated.
Maybe Daddy will make I'm gonna make some phone calls, and we'll get Kenny J on that show for you. All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go finish this, okay? Love you.
I'm gonna stay here.
You're gonna stay here? Okay, she's staying here.
Yeah.
All right. So carry on. The light and love that having a daughter exudes. And son, I love you. He's standing over there. I'm not leaving you out.
That's you know it. What? Right there, what you experienced right there. That's it. I don't even know how to put it in the words. That's the weird thing about it is like you asked me that question and it's like there are no words for it except for like what I'm watching you with your daughter right now and the way she responds. That's like beyond magical. I mean, that's it right there. That's it.
And this Kenny, this is the guy who was always positive everywhere and if you follow him on social media, you'll see that. You'll see the positivity of him being happy that he's on the set around his cast members, lifting everybody up all the time. No joke, dude. It's not a put on. That's the way you are. You're always just happy to be there. Wherever we are, wherever you're doing, you're happy to be there. And so this is not a put on. This is the real you. And again, that's an inspiring thing. So, you know, thank you for doing that and being the way you are. So I can see you being, you know, that way with your daughter. If you're saying that she is that, then she's like, you pass that on. She's, you're a springboard.
I feel like Jelly needs to make a cameo appearance on this episode.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know if that's possible, but you know, Oh,
did we hang on. That's from Washington. I got to decline that.
Oh, you got a phone call. Every time the phone call comes in when you're on the phone, it disappears. What are you doing? She's doing my nails. All right. So, Nick.
Yo.
Have you prepared a fast five for Kenny?
When have I not?
I can name a couple.
Never mind. Don't answer that.
Okay. All right. So, Kenny, check it out.
Yes, I did.
Since we are nearing the end of our time together, we like it's called the Fast Five. Nick is going to ask you a series of five questions. They're random. They're quick. They're short. They're sweet. You can answer them. You cannot answer them. Entirely up to you. Nick, you got the conch.
All right. So, did you cry when Opie died on Sons of Anarchy like we all did?
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite thing to cook for your daughter?
To cook for my daughter, let's see. Favorite thing to cook for her. You know what? It's so simple, but just eggs with two kind of cheeses in it. She loves it. Eggs with two kind of cheese. Yeah.
Nice.
Scrambled eggs with two kind of cheese. Yeah.
Cool. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it say and why?
What does that other hat say? Why? I saw this thing yesterday called Calm the Mind. Calm the Mind. I don't know if you can read that, but yep. I was at the surf shop. And I'm always too busy in my mind, going too fast. And if I can calm and stay in the moment and just, you know, be there, be here, like right now, that would help a lot better than being somewhere else. So, yeah, calm the mind.
I like that one. What's your favorite character you played?
Probably Lem on the Shield. Definitely. Yeah. No, he was Lem on the strike team was just badass and kind of it was it's hard to get better than that.
It was such a great show too, like so well written and just
freaking really
funny. Yeah.
I mean, that probably it, yeah.
Well, what's your favorite thing to order at a local restaurant?
I do pizza.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to add a question like I always do. Was that it, Nick?
That's it.
Well done. Good job. You can co-star with any actor, living or dead, on any TV show that has ever existed. Who would it be and what show?
A TV show or a movie?
Movie, TV, anything.
You know, I mean, you guys probably won't know this. God, I don't know. I mean... God, there are like three that I want to do. I want to do Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
When he would, you know, back like on the waterfront, but also, you know, James Dean, I was a huge fan of. And I'm going to do four. And then Montgomery Clift, I was a huge, huge fan before he got in his accident, even after. And then Marilyn Monroe has been one of my biggies that I've loved what she's about and where she comes from. And I worked at the orphanage that she used to live at. And, yeah, she's been an inspiration to me too in life. So,
love that answer, man. I got three extras. Now, speaking of Marilyn Monroe, I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. Have you happened to be to Allegiant Stadium yet, where the Raiders play in Vegas?
No.
Okay, I'm getting close. I'm getting real close. Inside Allegiant, they've commissioned a bunch of artists to do these huge paintings, and here it is. One of those paintings, this has got to be about 20 feet tall by about 10 feet wide, is Marilyn dressed up as a Raiderette.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Awesome.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I thought of when you said Marilyn Monroe. Amazing.
Okay.
Kenny from every TV show that's ever existed, appearing on Dadcast, man. I want to. What was that?
Except the one your daughter named.
That's a YouTube show. Does that even count?
Oh, yeah, it counts.
Okay. It counts. He's been on every show except for the one you thought you said.
Have you been of Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz. Oh, my God. No, I haven't. But I've watched it a bunch of times.
Avery, you just officially had your first question on Dadcast. Well done.
I love it.
Proud of you. Brian Hopkins from the band Elvis Monroe and many, many other things are our future co-host of Dadcast. And I just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on Dadcast, man. It was a pleasure. It was an honor. I may be in touch to get this girl, you know, on her way.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And to everyone else out there watching, thank you so much for hanging out. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment, do all that stuff, however you're listening, however you see it. Like and comment. Yes. And that is it for me. I'm going to let Brian close this one out today.
And share.
Close it out. Kenny Johnson, thank you so much for being on Dadcast.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
And we'll see all of you next week.
Bye. Appreciate it. Bye.
She's such a ham.